Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Liat Meyerfeld, and it's my privilege to be learning Sefer Shemot with you. Our Parsha this week is Parshat Bo. I'd like to start with a riddle. Always old, sometimes new. Never sad, sometimes blue. Never empty, sometimes full. Never pushes, always pulls. It's the moon. Today we're talking about the moon and the incredible gift of Rosh Chodesh that we're commanded about in this week's Parsha. By now, even Paro's advisors have had enough, and they advise him to allow the Jewish people to go worship. Paro famously says, "Mi v'mi holchim." This can be a question asking Moshe who will be going, or a statement saying only these men can go. But Moshe is adamant that all people, men, women, and children of all ages, participate in the worship. This is our first glance at learning that Judaism is for everyone. Paro refuses, and the land of Egypt is destroyed by locusts, a plague of locusts so horrible that it's described as one that will never exist again. Then complete darkness, where the Egyptians have no control over their bodies and movement, and finally the smiting of the firstborn. With each plague, as we know, Paro initially concedes, but then hardens his heart. Meanwhile, in an alternative reality, Bnei Israel are commanded to take animal for the sacrifices, to put blood on the doorpost, prepare the matzah, and to be waiting with their families. Paro in pajamas in the middle of the night, but it's too late. The entire nation leaves with wealth taken from the Egyptians as payment for their years of labor, and the slavery comes to an end. The people are commanded to sanctify their firstborns and to commemorate yearly the redemption from Egypt. We're told that Pesach will always be celebrated with matzah and teaching our children of Hashem's love and care. And in the middle of this overwhelmingly wonderful drama comes the first mitzvah given to Israel as a nation. And with it, Torah actually begins. Torah from the root of hora'ah, teachings. Till now we had stories, and of course there's reason for each one of them. But even in the story of creation, Rashi tells us already there that Torah actually starts with the mitzvah of this month shall be for you the beginning of the months. HaChodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim. The Rambam explains that this is a mitzvah to calculate months and years. I would have expected the first mitzvah to be one of direct God connection. In fact, in Sefer HaMitzvot, when the Rambam lists and explains the 613, the first mitzvot there are to know there is a God, that there are no other gods, to believe that He's one, to love Him and to fear Him. That sounds more like it. To be honest, this commandment here, it can be a bit of a letdown. Blood, frogs, wild animals, hail, darkness, gather your families, put on your shoes, be ready to leave. You're my nation, and here's your first mitzvah? Create a calendar based on the lunar cycle. Except for some math and science people, a technical mitzvah, really? So that's our question for today. Why is Rosh Chodesh the first mitzvah that we're commanded as we're about to leave Egypt? What deep meaning lies in this mitzvah for it to be the initial connector between Hashem and His nation? I would like to bring three layers of answers and add an extra challenge. The woman of Egypt who personifies Rosh Chodesh, for me, is Yocheved, mother of Moshe. With each of the layers, I'll explain what Yocheved's connection is. Our first explanation comes from Rav Kook, who lived in Yerushalayim in the 1800s. Rav Kook beautifully explains that the difference between a slave and a free man is not just a class difference, which is that one is enslaved to another and one is not enslaved. For we can find an educated slave whose spirit is full of freedom, and vice versa, a free man whose spirit is the spirit of a slave. Rather, explains Rav Kook, freedom elevates a person to be faithful to his inner self, to the spiritual quality of the image of God, Tzelem Elohim, that is within him. And with such a quality, he can feel his life as directed and worthwhile. Rav Kook is teaching us that unfortunately there are many slaves today, because the definition of a slave is not only whether he physically has a master, but the definition of a slave is also where there is a spiritual or emotional force that causes him to not be himself to the end. It can be social pressure, social norms. It can be jealousy, lust, and honor. Kinat, tava, kavod, as described in Pirkei Avot, these take a person out of the world. They don't let a person be in his world. When a person has this external power that controls him, he's not his true self. The Jews in Egypt were obviously not their true selves, because otherwise they would not have been at the lowest level of impurity. And this is why the Maharal describes they needed to be taken physically out of Egypt, and also emotionally and spiritually taken out of Egypt, because their spirit was enslaved to the Egyptians. This is how Rav Kook understands the Midrash, describing the moon complaining to God that she and the sun are equal. The moon didn't understand its own individual power. It felt dependent and intertwined with the sun. Part of going out of Egypt was receiving the Torah, and in that way finding our connection to Torah and Hashem, and finding our true selves. That is the purpose of learning Torah and living Torah. During the slavery, Yocheved is described as a midwife. Her identity and purpose is to bring forth life, not just to newborns, but to everyone, to help them know that despite being physically enslaved, they have a deep connection to the spiritual and a personal identity. They shouldn't lose it because of their physical enslavement. Rabbi Nachman is quoted as saying that the day you were born was the day God decided the universe needed you. This was Yocheved's constant message to the people. The famous midrash of a fetus knowing all of Torah is explained as the child knowing all of their Torah, everything they need to know to be their true selves in this world throughout their life. Yocheved was the person who helped everyone else take that fetus power and know that they have a personal role to play in this world, to remind them to be true to themselves. On Rosh Chodesh, we're meant to look at the first sliver of moon that we know will eventually fill up and be seen as whole. And each of us takes stock of ourselves and asks, am I myself? Am I really reaching my potential, my greatness? Am I living in the space where I want to be? Is there a gap between where I know I should be and who and where I am? We want and strive to reach our natural state of being true to self, holy people who feel and experience the inner self, the godliness, our neshama, within ourselves. So level one, know yourself and be true to your purpose. In our second level of understanding, we look to Rav Hirsch, 1800s Germany. Rav Hirsch gives another explanation why this mitzvah of sanctifying the moon is the first mitzvah in the Torah. Rosh Chodesh, he teaches, sanctifying the moon is an institution whose purpose for Israel is a renewal of spiritual and moral self, to always strive to renew, like each dawn, and reconnect with our godliness, with freshness and youthfulness. This institution is our passageway to nationhood. It's the foundation of what separates us from the other nations. Societies don't usually recognize newness, neither in the world, nor in mankind, nor in his God or their idols, which they place above the world and man. Everything is destined, preordained, and therefore a necessity. Today develops from yesterday, and tomorrow from today. Ironclad. Just as society denies the free creation from the free will of the Creator, so for them there is no free will and creation in the moral being of man, nor in the destiny of mankind. Just want to read that again. Just as society denies the free creation from the free will of the Creator, so for them there is no free will and creation in the moral being of man, nor in the destiny of mankind. Rav Dessler describes how this plays out in the difference between calendars. Society's calendar is lateral. It starts at one point and keeps going. Many calendars, you rip the day off and then it's gone. But Bnei Israel's calendar is a spiral. We stop at various stops along the way, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, Chagim, but never in the same place we were before, and never forgotten the places that we were, but rather we spiral up so we have the energy of that time, but in a higher plane than we were the year before. We push ourselves upward, renew, and elevate. The Ger Rebbe, the Sfas Emes, adds that that is why we're given the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh precisely as we are leaving Egypt. The commandment of renewal every month is needed to be truly free, that we should know that we are free from a destined fate, that we have free will and an ability to create. After the moon complains, Hashem interestingly gives the moon a changing status. The moon was once always whole like the sun, and now would need to constantly renew itself, fluctuating from small to large. Hashem points to the moon, telling Moshe, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, this small moon that you see, Rosh Chodeshim, it's the head of the month, the beginning of the month. Because Rosh indicates that it's the essence of the month, we recognize that the moon's renewal is necessary for the rest of the month. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem can also be read HaChadash Hazeh Lachem. This newness is for you. In that way, showing us the need to recognize our own ability to constantly renew. The Torah tells us that a certain man went from the tribe of Levi, from the house of Levi, and married a daughter of the house of Levi. Vayelech ish mi bet Levi, vayikach et bat Levi. We know that this is Amram, who remarried Yocheved after separating because of Paro's decree. Amram is described as an ish, a man of stature, for doing the right thing and remarrying Yocheved. Yocheved, who was 130 years old, is described as bat, a daughter. Amram is an ish, a man, and Yocheved is a daughter, a girl. The Gemara in Baba Batra 120 explains that Yocheved miraculously regained her youth. Her skin became youthful, her wrinkles straightened out, and her body was young. No oil of Olay needed. It was as if she was reborn and renewed. And the Talmud describes the beauty of Yocheved as reflecting the beauty of Hashem. Perhaps this is also why she is so wonderful with the babies. She is called Shifra, as she meshaperet, she is beautifying them and making them even better than before. Society prescribes to the destiny model. Every person has a destiny. Various events will happen to you, and you respond, and the world goes on. But we should learn from Yocheved to not be stuck in the here and now. We're not supposed to be reactive, but rather to be proactive, to focus and have a rebirth. No, you're not destined to be someone somewhere, but that you have the power of hitchatshut, rebirth and renewal. And our actions should be imbued with renewal, not to feel like we're doing the same thing over and over. And our Jewish practice should also not go stale. Again a prayer, again a blessing, the same kiddush, the same words. Rather, we should be newly mindful of our actions, learn new meanings of the words, understand them each day anew. Like the moon going excitedly from the smallness of the new moon to the full greatness of our potential. Lever 1, be true to self. Level 2, don't be trapped in today's reality, but rather feel the power of renewal and development. Rav Friedlander, Mashgiach in Ponovitch in the 1900s, in his Sefer Siftei Chaim, takes it a step further. This mitzvah, he says, shows more than anything a new method of running the world. No longer does Hashem lead the world alone. Hashem handed over the ability to partner with him in controlling of time. The Jewish people decide the months of the year and the holidays. We will determine what is holy and what is profane, when time is holy and when it is not holy. With this mitzvah, we begin a new era in the leadership of Bnei Israel. This leadership is from the bottom up, since it depends not on the few leaders, but on the actions of the people. Hashem will now run the world and see the world in light of our actions as a reflection of our decisions. As the Jewish people will sanctify the month, Beit Din will decide whether the day will be holy or not, when the holiday will occur. Until the commandment of this month is for you, God leads the whole world through miracles. Everything comes from top to bottom. Suddenly, with freedom comes the freedom for the children of Israel to determine God's care over them in light of their deeds and actions. Yocheved famously stood up to Paro. Imagine being in her place. It is petrifying. The mighty Paro commanding you to kill the babies. There are two obvious options. Refuse as the Torah commands to give your own life rather than take someone else's, or comply and do as Pharaoh says. No one would have blamed her for saving her own life. But Yocheved and Miriam, with her, choose the third option. Instead, they accept their mission from Paro and then do exactly the opposite of what he commands. What is extraordinary is that under the circumstances, they didn't fear Paro, but only feared Hashem. Meaning Yocheved was not swayed to the way of life, to the distorted moral code of the Egyptians. She knew her true self and had unwavering commitment to truth and doing what was right. She feared only God and partnered with him in determining the future. Yocheved is not determined by time. She stands up to it. She's not a victim of circumstance, but decides her circumstance. Life was not predetermined. She determined her life. Yocheved's actions are not because she is seized by the moment, so to speak, but she seizes the moment. She's not overwhelmed, but masters her circumstances. And because of this, Yocheved is forever transformed to the very depths of her being. Hashem gifts her a new reality of youth. And he builds her households, vayas lehem batim. Households of priests and Levites and kings will come from Yocheved. Described as houses, batim, because she forged and built a strong foundation. Not predetermined, not swayed, but focused, decisive, and clear. This is also, of course, related to what we are talking about, that a person knows the inner strength within themselves. A passive person will never know himself, will never know his powers, will not know who he is deep down. It's only through creativity, through doing, the aspiration, and the fulfillment of the aspiration. This is what makes a person be himself and to feel and experience his inner self. So we have three messages, three levels before us. One, am I really me, or is there some force behind me that is not the true me? Two, do I feel the renewal all the time? We don't want our Judaism to become routine. We want our lives and our Jewish practice to feed the joy of our lives, to refresh the strength of our lives. And three, am I creating? Am I proactive enough? Because a person who is not active does not fully reach self-knowledge and does not reach complete happiness. As in the redemption from Egypt, so too in all redemptions, we're inspired to mirror Yocheved. May we have the privilege that each of us knows and maximizes their inner strengths. May we have the fortitude to not get stuck, but rather renew ourselves day by day, hour by hour, month by month. And may we have the inner strength to write our own story. May we create and become great, and by this achieve true happiness and connection with Hashem. Thank you for learning together.